Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Adrian Mills, who's the student ministry and life group pastor here at our church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. Pastor Adrian, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
Good, Grayson. Good to be with you.
And Pastor Adrian's joining me because Dad's out of town at the time that we're recording this broadcast. Pastor Adrian, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, well, one of the areas that I've been spending a lot of time focusing, not just as our pastor student ministries, but over our life groups, we're spending some time this fall talking about what it means to be a disciple. And so I've been spending a lot of time kind of in the Word personally, just studying what that means. And I think it's clear when we look in Matthew chapter 28, one of the most famous passages of Scripture, Jesus in the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. So he doesn't leave any confusion that this is important to him. The question I started to ask myself, Grayson, is if it's so important that it was one of the last things Jesus said, then do our churches reflect that? Do we look around on Sunday morning and see a group of people that are passionate about being disciples? Or do we see oftentimes maybe our church would identify itself as kind of, well, I come to church on Sunday, but I'm not really identified with being a disciple. I wouldn't say that being a Jesus follower is my total identity. So I just began to kind of ask those questions. Why, if it was so important to Jesus, isn't it more important to us?
Pastor Adrian, that's a great point. And one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking was, and I'm sure this is the case with everything else in our lives, but sometimes the busyness of life, we just get caught up doing things out of routine. And I'm sure that's the same with church. We just come on Sunday mornings. Most of us, we can get caught up easily in just coming because that's the thing to do. But discipleship calls us to a deeper level, to grow deeper with God and also with one another as believers.
Yeah, and I think ultimately the call to being a disciple is hard. I mean, Jesus talked about taking up your cross. And we'll read some of these scriptures in a minute, but it's hard. And so I think a lot of times as believers, we have a choice. Are we going to really do the hard things that Jesus calls us to do, or are we going to kind of play it safe and say, well, I'm going to do the things that make me comfortable, but anything that makes me uncomfortable or causes me to stretch myself, I'm not going to do that. And so we settle, instead of really for being a disciple, we settle for kind of being maybe our own version of what we think it means to follow after Jesus.
And a lot of times me and Dad talk about on the broadcast here on Front Porch Talks about how we can't do this under our own strength. We can only do it through God's help and through the Holy Spirit living in us. And I know we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, because I think the two questions I started to ask, the first is this one, is the why. Why, if this was so important to Jesus, why is it not important to us? Or why does it appear, you know, as a church, as a whole in America, that we're so lackadaisical in this idea? But the second question I started to ask, and what I probably want to spend the most time talking about today, is the question of what? What is it really about? Like, if we really get down to the DNA of what Jesus meant by being a disciple, I like to call it the secret sauce, you know, the ingredients of being a disciple, what it would be about. And so I wanted to share just briefly two passages of Scripture where I think, I'm going to share three, but the first two are two pretty prominent calls that Jesus gives to disciples. The first takes place in Matthew chapter 4, and this is Jesus calling his disciples. I'm going to read it for you, Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. It says, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw, this is Jesus, two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I'll teach you to catch people instead of fish. So they immediately left their nets and followed him. I want you to think about that word follow as it comes up here. Again, in verse 21 of Matthew 4, Jesus went on. He saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat, and their father Zebedee began preparing the nets to go fishing. He called them, immediately left their boats and their father and followed Jesus. That word follow is very prominent. Again, if you look in Matthew 9, this is where Jesus later calls Matthew, the tax collector, to be a follower of Jesus. He says in Matthew 9, verse 9, Jesus was leaving that place. He saw a man sitting in a tax office. The man's name was Matthew. He said, "Follow me." So Matthew got up and followed him. And so I think when we're looking at the what early on, what it meant to be a disciple was this idea of follow. In early in the New Testament, we understand that's the call, that these disciples literally would leave what they had and to follow him. And even in that kind of rabbinic tradition that Jesus lived in, a rabbi would often have his disciples following him, physically following him so close that they would be covered in the dust of their rabbi's feet. They would literally be following him on the dusty road so closely that even the dust from his feet would cover them. And so it's kind of this beautiful imagery initially of what it means to be a disciple, is this idea of following Jesus.
Pastor Adrian, as you were talking, I was thinking about how in Scripture it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," and how, like you said, if it's important to Jesus and how he commanded his disciples, one of the last things before he was crucified on the cross, he was telling them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And I think we should take that seriously, and we should go out and be witnesses of Christ to those in our everyday life. The Bible still applies to us even today. It wasn't just for those in the time of Jesus.
Right, absolutely. And I think the challenge for me, though, as I started to think through that, Grayson, is I believe in following Jesus, but I remember, maybe you remember, Grayson, growing up, the "what would Jesus do" kind of slogan. I think that's a great slogan, but the problem for me oftentimes was I would get to places in my life where I couldn't really clearly look in Scripture and tell you what Jesus would do. You know, I don't think Jesus ever had a girlfriend in high school or went to the prom. And so oftentimes as a young boy growing up thinking about, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be like Jesus, I want to be a disciple. But then there would be these times in my life where I'm like, well, how do I know what Jesus would do? I don't know if you can relate to that example in your life at all.
Yeah, I can certainly relate to that. I know that was big also when I was a kid. But like you say, we're not Jesus, and we can't hear him vocally. I mean, it says his children know his voice, but still, we're not Jesus. Right. We're his disciples. I know Dad has said a lot of times, like, that's such a struggle. What would Jesus do? Like,
right.
We don't, if we're trusting Jesus, and
right.
that he, if he lives in us
right.
through his Holy Spirit, we don't have to wonder, what would Jesus do? He
right.
always changed one word in it and say, what will Jesus do
right.
through us? So
yeah, the challenge for me as a boy was kind of coming to that place. And so I got really encouraged, because I know throughout Acts it talks about, you know, his Spirit living in us. But then I thought about, man, well, what about these first believers? I mean, they had Jesus with them. But then I was really encouraged when I looked later in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 10. So Jesus was present with the disciples, and up to that point, all they had done is physically followed him. But there comes a point in Matthew 10 where he's going to send out his disciples. And he says some hard words for them. Remember, we talked about being a disciple is hard. I mean, he tells them, you know, you might get ridiculed and people might kick you out of their town, and tells them kind of all these things. But if you look down in Matthew 10, starting with verse 16, this really encouraged me. This is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. Matthew 10, verse 16, he says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves." Now, that doesn't sound encouraging, but listen for the encouraging part. "Be as cunning as snakes and as innocent as doves. Watch out for people who will hand you over to the Jewish courts and whip you in their synagogues. Because of me, you'll be even brought in front of governors and kings to testify to them and to everyone in the world. When they hand you over to the authorities," here comes the encouraging part, "don't worry about what to say or how to say it. When the time comes, you will be given what to say." And then verse 20 of Matthew 10, it says, "Indeed, you're not the ones who will be speaking. The Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you." And that encouraged me, because Jesus was still physically present in this earth, But already he was getting his disciples to understand there will be a time when you follow me physically, but there will be a time when you can't see me physically. And that's what he's telling his disciples. You're going out from here. You're not going to be able to physically watch me to follow me. But guess what? My spirit will be with you. My spirit will tell you what to say. My spirit will lead you. You don't have to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Because I will be with you. And man, that encouraged me. That gave me the hope and the inspiration I needed to be a disciple, to know that even when I can't see him physically, I know that he's with me, leading me and guiding me. Does that make sense, Grayson?
It makes a lot of sense, Pastor Adrian, and I agree with you. And recently in my devotionals, I've been reading about what it would be like, just imagining what it would be like a day without Jesus, a day without him in our lives living in us. And I know a lot of people experience that. There's a lot of unsaved people. But it was talking about how we wouldn't have hope, we wouldn't have joy, which goes beyond, joy isn't based on our circumstances. We wouldn't have hope, we wouldn't have joy, and we wouldn't have peace.
Right. So for me, as I was looking at kind of the DNA of what a disciple was, there was really two words. The first was that idea of follow. And really that word following, I think, is good initially. I think as when we make that decision to follow Christ, we're making that decision that our lives are going to take a different path, you know. Instead of following what I want for my life, I'm going to follow what he wants. I think that's good, but I think there's a point where that word has to change for us. And that's where I use the word filled, because it's not just that we follow him, but now we are filled by him. And listen, so that's when Jesus was on this earth, and we know, you know, that eventually Jesus wouldn't walk this earth anymore, that he would leave this earth. And listen, as we turn the page to the book of Acts, listen to what the disciples understood as following Jesus. It was this idea of being filled. I'm just going to share about half a dozen little scriptures here, and you can look them up later as you have time listening at home. But listen to this idea of suddenly disciples going from following to being filled. In Acts 2, verse 4, it says, all of the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:8, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Peter, filled. That's how he's defined. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts 7, talks about a Stephen who was the first martyr. And the way it defines Stephen, it says, Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Later in Acts 9, it talks about Ananias. When he came and he entered the house to come to pray for Saul, he prays for Saul, who we know would become Paul. But when he prays for him, he says that the Lord has sent me so that you may regain your sight, but so that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just receive a physical, you know, healing, but a spiritual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then Barnabas in Acts 11. Again, these are all the early disciples, the earlier followers of Jesus. In Acts 11, it defines him as a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. So I don't think there's any doubt, Grayson, that as you really dive into what it means to be a disciple, yeah, Jesus early on called them to follow. But very quickly, it became less about following and more about being filled with his spirit and his presence. And I think that makes all the difference for us.
Yes, Pastor Adrian, I agree. And as you were talking, I was thinking about the scripture verse where he tells the disciples that it'll be better for them when he leaves and sends the Spirit, because then he won't just be with them, but he can be within them.
Right.
His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can be within them. And I'm sure that was confusing the disciples, saying, well, how can it be better for us that you leave and you're not here with us anymore? But they just hadn't experienced what life was without Jesus ever since he had called them to follow him. They didn't understand the whole feeling, but we have the advantage now of being in a post-Pentecost or a post-resurrection world,
right,
where we as Christians can experience Christ in our lives and through our lives on an everyday basis. specifically if we're focusing on being disciples and focusing on our relationship with Christ and spending time in His Word and in prayer and those type of things.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to that Great Commission that we started with, I mean, listen to what Jesus said. He said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me, so now go and make disciples." And then he says, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them. But then listen to the very last thing he says. He goes, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of time." And again, that would be a really confusing thing to say, because moments after that, he's going to be taken to heaven. And so the disciples could scratch their heads and say, "Well, wait, you said you would be with us always, and now you're leaving." But they understood, I think, and if they didn't, they soon would at Pentecost, that he was leaving, but his presence was still there with us. And I think that's so critical for us to remember as believers, that God is not, he's not abandoned us. You know, we long for Jesus to return, but he's left his Spirit here with us. And so if we claim to be disciples, yeah, we're followers, but we carry the very presence, the very Spirit of him with us. Listen to what Paul would say later. Remember, Paul, Saul, who came, and Ananias would pray over him that he would receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says later in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And listen to what he says. He goes, "Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price." And when we understand that, when we truly grasp and understand that our call is not just to be followers, and that's good. I like followers. I think, Grayson, I think about, I don't know if you can relate to this, in high school, you know, there was kind of this group where, you know, you had the leaders in school that were, they were the leaders, you know, they were setting the trends. And even if it was stupid hairstyle or, you know, the clothes they wore, whatever they did, they were kind of the leaders. And then there was this group that was kind of the followers, where they would just kind of do everything everyone else did, and they would never really take a risk, and they would never really take a chance because they wanted to fit in the crowd. And sometimes when I hear the word follower, that's what I think. And I just think that's not at all what Jesus is calling to do. He doesn't want us to just live this life where we kind of just follow along and fit in and don't do anything wild or don't do anything crazy for the Lord. And so I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but sometimes I get stuck thinking, man, I'm not even sure that that word follower really resonates with all that Jesus wanted us to be.
Yeah, sometimes follow gives you this idea that, like, it's unattainable, and God doesn't want it to be unattainable. He wants us to know that all we have to do is accept his grace and accept his love and just, you know, surrender our lives to him, right. Give him control. It's not something that's difficult. We don't have to measure up or feel good enough or feel like we always have to, like you said, try to fit in
right.
with others, or, you know, try to be popular. Or, right. It's not a popularity contest with God. He loves us all.
Yeah, and I think when we see that, I mean, look at the book of Acts. Paul was not trying to fit in. He was not trying to just, again, if I'm thinking about the idea of follower as somebody that kind of just is the status quo, doesn't ruffle any feathers, don't say anything too crazy. Man, I mean, was that the DNA of the early church? Not at all. I mean, they were preaching boldly. And I think, well, you say, well, how is that possible? That's possible when the Spirit of God lives in us, because he causes us to do things that followers wouldn't do, people that are just trying to fit in wouldn't do. No, he calls us to break the mold, and we do it carefully. You know, we're not just being rebellious for the sake of, look at me, here I am taking a stand. But through the obedience, through the trusting and leading of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to be bold in our faith. That's one thing that I think we lack sometimes today in America as disciples. We lack boldness. We're interested in what's comfortable for us and what's safe for us. But when I look at what it means to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, I see boldness. I see a willingness to say things and do things that may get us in trouble and may cause us some persecution. But we do it only when the Holy Spirit tells us to, not for our own good, not to draw attention to us. But really, when the Holy Spirit tells us to do this, we don't have a choice. We're going to obey and obey fully what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do.
And Pastor Adrian, recently in my life, within the last year, I felt convicted, like that all my friendships, so to speak, for the most part, were Christians. And like I was kind of comfortable, just like, how can I witness to people when most of the people... Well, he showed me, I basically asked him to show me people in my life that weren't Christians that I could reach out to, witness to, be examples to, and really stay after those people, not just occasionally mention it to them, but just really stay after them. And even if it's just staying after, sometimes you have to pray for people before you can
right.
go out and witness to them, asking the Lord to give us the words to say to these people so that we don't turn them away, but so that we bring them closer to Him. And we also got to make sure that whatever we do brings glory to Him and isn't about us, but it's about right. Him.
And I think that's key. If we're temples of the Holy Spirit, then what else is key there is we've given up our right to ourselves. And we've said that my life isn't really about me. It's about His Spirit in me. So that means when we do speak, when we do talk to others, when we do pray, we're pretty set on that it's about Him. It's not really about us. It's not about us getting glory. And really, Grayson, I'm not sure how it's possible to be a disciple of Jesus without this idea of being filled with His presence. Because I've kind of seen my life and I've seen how I can try pretty hard and I can be a good person and I can maybe follow all the things that I know Jesus would want me to do, to pray, read my Bible, and all of that's good, but I'm just here to say that in my life, I'm pretty certain that the only way that I can be a true disciple, to go from following to being filled, is to really trust His Holy Spirit to lead me. Because like you said, when we start praying that prayer, God puts people in our life that need Him and that need hope. And on our own strength, we may say, well, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know what to do. I won't have the words to say. But if His Spirit is living in you, then you pray, Holy Spirit, right now, give me the words to say. Or if I'm not supposed to say anything, help me to listen. Give me the right timing, God, to do the things that You would have me to do. And so I get excited about thinking about our churches, if they were filled with people that really get a hold of this, that really said, God, whatever You want to do in my finances, whatever future You have for me, whatever will and plan You have for my kids, whatever You want me to do in my workplace, God, I'm going to do it because I'm filled with Your presence. And whatever You're telling me to do, God, I'm just doing it. I'm not worried about, I'm not counting the cost. I've just decided that my life, I'm going to be a temple of Your Holy Spirit. And so that whatever You want me to do, I'm going to do it. And man, how different would it look on a Sunday morning if we gathered together as believers, not just showing up to do church, but all week we've been obedient to this idea of being filled with His presence. And so we come on a Sunday morning as an overflow of that to celebrate and to worship.
Yeah, that's great, Pastor Adrian. I know certainly we need not just Christ living in us and working through us and His power in our lives to be disciples, but I think we have to continue meeting with other believers, as it says in the Bible, and lifting each other up in prayer in order to go out into the world that's unsaved, to kind of have that power, and like you said, to celebrate what the Lord's done in us and not take it for granted. And another thing I was thinking about as you were talking was, you were talking about how discipleship isn't easy, it's not safe. It's not just focusing on our own lives and our own salvation, but it's being concerned about the lives of others and others' salvation and where others will spend eternity. And so I think, like you said, that's why it's not safe. If we ask for boldness, Christ will give us boldness, but He'll also give us opportunities where we can be bold and share our faith with those who don't know Him.
Yeah, and I'm with you too, Grace. And I think anytime I get to place in my life where I feel a little complacent, or I'm saying, you know, Lord, I want to reach lost people, and I just pray that, the Holy Spirit always gives me opportunities, even that week, even if it's just at the grocery store or, you know, in passing. I may not lead someone to the Lord in the middle of the, you know, produce section in the grocery store, but there's specific opportunities where I can tell that His presence in me is being used for His glory. And there's no greater testament, really, to the Lord's faithfulness than when He's able to do that. Grayson, just kind of in summary, I thought before we close, I just wanted to summarize a little bit of kind of what we shared today. Really, we started with the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and this idea that we're called to be, you know, disciples. In Matthew 18 through verse 20 says that. And really, for me, I asked two questions about that. I asked why and what. Why aren't we more passionate? And what is it really that discipleship is all about? And a couple of the key passages that we talked about, if anybody at home is wanting to look later. The first was Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. This, of course, is one of the first times that Jesus calls disciples. And then also in Matthew 9, verse 9. And both of these are the examples of Jesus with the idea of following. Hey, come follow me. But then I think the turning point for us is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5 through 20. Really, Jesus' instructions to his first disciples to go out and really to go from following to being filled. And then finally, really, all the verses I read from Acts, Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 7, Acts 9, all of these, if you have time, just in the Word, dive in and just look for these opportunities where you see being filled with his presence and how the early church, that was the key. That was the idea of what it meant to be a disciple. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 is our charge as believers that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And that's a great verse of encouragement for you to spend some time reading this week.
Thank you, Pastor Adrian. And also, I was thinking as a disciple, we might not see immediate fruit, so to speak, when we're going out and being disciples. Sometimes discipleship takes longevity, as Dad would say. Longevity is the greatest convincer. Sometimes we have to not give up when we're witnessing to people, especially friends and family. We got to keep praying because the enemy would want us to feel defeated and to give up if we're not seeing progress in somebody's life or in a relationship with somebody we're trying to witness to.
Yeah, I agree. That's true. And the fact that his Spirit's in us, we're never alone. He's always with us. So that gives us hope and encouragement in hard times, too.
Well, do you mind praying for us today as we close out the broadcast here on Front Porch Talks, Pastor Adrian? And thanks again for joining me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed being here, Grace. And let me pray. Father, thank you for those that are listening today to this broadcast. I pray today that the number one thing they would feel is encouragement. Encouragement that you love us enough not to leave us. And you know, not too long here, we're going to be journeying into the Advent season, a season where we're reminded that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And if there's any indication that that's true, it's when we look at the early church and what it meant to be a disciple, that you loved us enough to give us your Spirit. Yeah, God with us, your Spirit in us. And I pray today that we would sense in a real way your power that's available to us, that we would go from being followers to being filled with your presence. And not that following's bad. I believe in that. I'm for that. But what I'm really for is to go from following you to being filled with you. And so I pray today for each person listening that in the areas of their life where they might be struggling, areas of their life where they need encouragement, that you would come and fill them and give them inspiration and encouragement. And I pray that we would live obedient lives as disciples, that what we do with our time and our talent and our resources would be guided by your Holy Spirit's work in us. And I can't wait to see what you do in all of us, God, as we surrender and as we're yielded to you. We love you and thank you in your name. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on the front porch today. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.